Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode has been sponsored by Generation UCAN. More about our sponsor later on in the show.
You're listening to episode 199 of the Marathon Running Podcast. In this episode, we're going to do our Tokyo race recap.
This is the Marathon Running Podcast by Letty and Ryan from We Got The Runs. Join us in our running community for weekly content that is motivational, educational, and inspirational, and let the Marathon Running Podcast take you from the starting line to the finish line and beyond.
Hey runners, and welcome to episode 199. My name is Letty.
My name is Ryan.
And we are here to tell a story about the Tokyo Marathon 2024.
Race recaps, your favorite.
Yes, I love race recaps. I love listening to them. And I guess I love doing them too, just because it's such a great experience and you're so amped up to go. And here we are back and got to share the story, right? Life is all about stories.
So in traditional form, we can talk about your journey there first.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you, Ryan, for holding up the fort at home. As you guys know, we have two small children, so it makes traveling a little bit more difficult. When you're single, you can just kind of go, or you probably would have gone with me, hopefully. But it's not the case if traveling happens like that. So I'm really grateful to you.
You're welcome. So you had to go to Tokyo, which is quite a ways away.
It is. It's a 14-hour flight plus a 4-hour flight. You're going, you know.
Yeah, 14-hour flight. I don't know if you've ever been on a flight that long before.
I have, but then the fact that, okay, so back up. I flew from here to Texas, which is Florida to Texas,
and backwards.
Then to Tokyo from there.
Which way around did you go?
Going west.
Oh, so it wasn't backwards.
No, it wasn't backwards.
And yeah, that makes sense, actually.
And, you know, having that added extra flight from Tokyo, I mean, from, my gosh, from Florida to Texas, that extra 4 hours made this the longest flight I've ever been on.
Yeah, so I guess it probably is, we could look it up, it's probably quicker to go around that the west as opposed to east. But I remember when we went to Thailand, there was flights that went either direction. So you could either go one direction around the earth or the other direction, because it's basically on the other side of the world.
Yeah, it's a...
So it's a long flight. Are you jet-lagged?
I was jet-lagged eventually, because of that 14-hour difference. But, you know, I arrived in the evening time, so I just tried to stay awake all the way up until 9 p.m. and then went to sleep and woke up at 5. So it wasn't really that bad. But, you know, it's not like I had the best sleep. I kept waking up kind of as if I had kids with me, but I didn't. So.
All right. So before we get ahead of ourselves, I know that you had tried to go to the Tokyo Marathon in the past. Can you describe a little bit about, like, your journey, but also the entry into the Tokyo Marathon?
Yeah, so getting into Tokyo seems to be one of the hardest things, right? I had never tried to enter a lottery, because there's a lottery way and then there's charities, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I entered the lottery trying to make a point that it would be easier to get into that than New York, and it was kind of a joke. And then I got selected, but this was in 2022, and I wasn't prepared to go. But I also didn't want to just let it go. And they give you a deferral option for one day because of COVID back then. And so I, you know, a year later, it was either take it or leave it. I know a lot of people are trying to get into Tokyo. They have a charity program where you, it's different than the other charities. You kind of just place a bid online. You don't have to fundraise for an organization or anything like that. I know my friend Colin, he got in with a bid, and I think he spent $800 or $900 or something like that to be selected from the bidders for the charity. So he did charity, but it didn't really seem like charity.
Was his bid used for charity? Is that how that works?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And I don't know of any other ways of getting in, except for if you're Japanese, I think you have a different path too, but I couldn't really understand the website, nor did I really try to.
Because you're not Japanese?
Yes, it didn't apply.
But you're not helping our Japanese listeners.
I'm not. I'm sorry about that. But go to your website.
And search for yourself?
Yes.
Because you can't read Japanese?
Yes.
So you kind of alluded to it, but so then who'd you go with?
Well, kind of by myself, but then another two local runners from here were going, my friend Sandrine and my friend James, and they had two more people, their support system, going as well, Patty and Michael. So we kind of had a bigger group, and then my friend Maria from Naples too. So it was a bigger group all on the same flight, although we weren't sitting in the same class in the airplane. But yeah, so we all went together.
And to be clear, you were in coach.
I was in coach, yes. I was kind of almost, you know, on the tail of the plane.
Maybe in 10 years when the Marathon Running Podcast becomes huge, you'll fly first class.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
So it's the first time you've been in Tokyo and Japan, right?
First time in Japan, yes. And there are some things that I wish I could have, I mean, I should have researched better. I didn't realize that, you know, not having currency would be an issue. I usually get by with just using a credit card, but there, coupled that with a language barrier, I had a couple instances where, you know, I learned very quickly. My first dinner there, I went to a restaurant with my friend Min, and it was very computerized. You could order on the iPad and everything else, but then it was time to pay, and they said cash only. And that was, it really threw me for a loop, and that was a little bit of an issue. Luckily, the Japanese restaurant people let us come back the next day with cash.
Didn't have to work in the kitchen.
Didn't have to work in the kitchen. And Min, who always likes to flash his Rolex, didn't have to turn it in.
As collateral?
Yep.
That's good. Trusting. That's actually really rare for, say, in the United States. They probably wouldn't let you left.
Well, I don't know what else they could do, right? Because
true.
He tried to use his ATM card. It didn't work. I didn't even have mine with me. So
yeah,
live and learn. So if you go to Tokyo, bring yen. There's also another way that you can use currency. And I just learned about that pretty much in the middle of the trip. You use your Apple Wallet if you have an iPhone, and you add a Suica card. So you can add cards. And if you select Japan, there's a card called Suica card, and you can upload money onto that, which is really kind of cool.
As a cash card,
and then you can use your phone for the train system and everything. So I thought it was for the train system only, but then Sandrine later on said, hey, you could use that too as a cash card. However, my credit card, you know, while I was there, it didn't let me load money up to it, and I didn't want to keep trying it because I was afraid it was just going to stop working completely, and then I would have been all the way screwed.
Any other tips for Japan?
Transportation is easy. Take public transportation. It's funny because you can't read any of it, but then you can see the letters, and it's very, very logical. If you're going from south to north, you know, numbers go up, and it says what direction on what city it's going to, not shitty city it's going to. And you just follow that. And it's, you know, arguably easier than using public transportation in New York, and definitely cleaner.
Yeah, New York's not very clean, though. So
it's not.
I have to see Tokyo. I've never been.
It's very clean, but they do make you carry your own trash, which I think is also one of the reasons why it is so clean. You have no place to dump the trash. But, you know, I think it's culturally just very, very clean. Speaking of which, their personal care, too. If you go even in the airport, sit down on the toilet, and it's like a bidet-style toilet with all the functions. Some of them play music as you go to the bathroom. The seats.
I've heard of the Tokyo or the Japan toilets.
Seats are heated.
They're famous for their toilets.
Oh, beautiful, Ryan. I'm going to order one of those seats.
Among other things.
Yes.
But, okay, so let's move on to your favorite part of every marathon.
The expo! So, little highlight for the expo. I had a pass which allowed me to access the expo earlier. And I've heard traumatizing things about the Thursday expo opening day of people having to stand in line for hours and hours. So we were able to go there and kind of view the expo prior to its opening. Mm-hmm. And then also go in, you know, there was a little ceremony, and then we were also allowed to go in it and have our expo, you know, it's kind of like a fast pass where we could just go into the different brands. And I heard, I don't really buy much race merch, or I never get the shirts with anything on it, but that's always a huge deal with Tokyo because they only have so many of them, and people were going crazy. It was like Black Friday once they opened, where, you know, there were bins on the ground and people were grabbing stuff out of them. It was really crazy.
Yeah, to each their own. I'm not a big memorabilia fan either. Mm-hmm. But you still like going. You still like seeing the expos and seeing what's going on. Is there anything different or new at that one compared to other ones?
It was bigger, and I don't know. It just had certain brands on the top floor and then other ones on the bottom. It was fun. It was a fun experience. There wasn't as many things to try and nibble on, which I usually kind of like, but it was still a lot of fun. It was a little bit away from everything else. So you have the point-to-point course in Tokyo. You have the start at Shinjuku, and it ends kind of close to the train station. And then the expo was all the way south by the harbor. So it was a trip, but we walked a lot and did sightseeing with my group of friends, which was amazing.
So we'll go through expos before the race. Anything else you do after the expo or up to race day?
So that was on Thursday. Friday was a press conference, which was great. I was able to go to that as well and, you know, see the invited athletes and the Japanese athletes for all the categories, wheelchair, men, women, and the elite field, which was great. My favorite runner, though, Benson Kipruto, he wasn't at the press conference, which he was one of the 5 invited Kenyan runners. He wasn't invited to the press conference. So for the press conference, well, they only invited 3 of the top Kenyan runners. And then they had 3 Japanese guys there. And it was kind of a bummer because he's not an underdog. He's won one of the Chicago twice, and he's won a Boston, but he always comes in second. So he never really gets to be highlighted as much, because then you had Kiptum and, you know, you have Kipchoge. And so those are the 2 Kenyans everyone talks about, but nobody talked about him. And then he wasn't at the expo. And I was like, you know, I mean, at the press conference, and I was at the press conference, and prior to that, I was reviewing the medal. They gave me gloves to put on and hold.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
You know, the gold, silver, and bronze, and they're actually made out of gold, silver, and bronze. And it was beautiful. And I texted Benson Kipruto and I said, I was holding your medal today. And he said, oh, thank you. And then it actually ended up being his medal.
You should post the text. Did you post the text?
No, I have not. I felt like, you know, that's kind of, I don't know. Would you want your texts to be posted out there? But maybe I should, right? Because it's kind of like, I feel like I contributed to this win, because it's all about visualization.
And you can start your second career as a psychic. But so what else?
So after that, we did a tiny bit of sight.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Seeing we went to one of the stand-up comedies. Why am I saying that?
I don't know.
I went to a lookout point, which has nothing to do with stand-up comedy. So we went to a So we went to a platform close by where you could see the city of Tokyo like 360 degrees, which was really, really great. And then this is Thursday, just headed home and got warm. You know, Tokyo was pretty cold. It was in the 30s. And, you know, I don't do well in cold weather, but I was wearing fleece-lined leggings and a fleece-lined shirt I got on Amazon. So it's nice and toasty.
That's good.
So that was that for Friday. And then Saturday, I hung out. I went to a meetup with my favorite podcast, the Marathon Training Academy. And I saw Trevor and Angie and talked with them for a little bit. And they had their listeners there. And, you know, they stood in a circle and talked a little bit about the, you know, because they're coaches, talked a little bit about the course and that kind of stuff. So that was super fun. And then Saturday, I went back to my hotel room. And shortly after, realized that I've forgotten all my gels. And you guys know, we've had Yukin as our sponsor and have been training on Yukin gels and actually really like them. And so I had no gels. So this is like 8 p.m. So I went to a grocery store and got some recommendations of things. I don't want to call them gels. Items that could be a gel. I was trying to describe it as well as possible. And yeah, that was that.
So a little fiasco with the nutrition?
Little bit, yeah. I was trying to not, you know, I feel like obviously you like certain gels that you're used to, but I was trying to mentally not use that as a crutch too much, right? Because in the end, it's a race and you're trying to, I just didn't want to get the runs, to be honest.
Right after you had talked about trying to use nutrition more consistently when you're running, you forget it at the last minute. But you want to get on to the race itself?
Wait, what about pre-race? What about race morning?
Pre-race, that was pre-race. Okay, fine, race morning. So start off with race morning.
So race morning, I got up way too early, like probably 4 o'clock. The race didn't start till 9, but you know, you're kind of in this weird twilight jet lag zone where you just can't sleep any longer. And the whole reason I had stayed in Shinjuku was because I wanted to be close to the starting line, which, you know, was when it was really a great place to stay because you had all the people shake out running and all that stuff. But I was up at 4, so I could have easily stayed somewhere else and just traveled. So keep that in mind when you book your accommodations. You're going to be jet lagged and you're going to, you know, wake up early anyway. So I went to my friend Min's hotel who had a breakfast, and he was very generous by letting me attend that too. I actually got there so late that he had already left, but I did the breakfast anyway.
Okay. Interesting.
And, yeah, so I didn't want to eat too much either. So I just had a little bit of coffee and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Then I went to my friend Maria's hotel. She was staying at the Hilton.
And so you were hotel shopping.
I was hotel shopping and also collecting gel donations from friends.
Okay.
So she gave me some goo donations. And so
you must have woken up really early. This is a long morning before your race. So you've already been to 2 hotels and had 2 breakfasts.
No, I didn't have breakfast with Maria.
Okay.
But then I made it to the gate check and went through that. It was very smooth. And then I ended up finding Colin in our starting area. We had texted in the morning to try to find each other. We were planning on running together. And he had just gotten there the day before at like 3 p.m. So it was kind of a crazy story.
So he was well rested.
He was very not rested. And so from there, we moved into our corrals after standing in line for the bathroom for about 30 minutes and chatting with people. And now we can talk about the race because now, you know, 50 minutes into the race starts.
Yeah, start of the race. Go.
All right. So I start running.
Okay. That is quick. So next, first half of the race, any memorable experiences?
Yeah, so the best part about it was as soon as the starting gun went out and there was what do you call those little things that flap around?
Paper?
Yeah.
Confetti?
Confetti was blowing all over the place. All of a sudden, Ryan, the sun came out and it had been cold all the way before. I had, you know, throwaway clothes. It was like a puffy jacket from Goodwill that I had purchased and like some really warm pants, and I could just take it off and there we went. First half of the race, I realized pretty quickly, pretty early on, maybe the first mile even, that it felt more strenuous than I wanted to. Like my training, I had done a lot of miles a lot faster, and having that same pace was a little bit harder. So I decided, you know what? I'm in Tokyo. If I keep this pace up, it's going to suck. I'm going to just give it, you know, extra 5 to 7 seconds and just kind of cruise it. So that decision was made, and I looked around and, you know, was able to see this amazing race. So you're asking about memorable things that I saw. I saw, unfortunately, quite a few people fall within the first couple of miles.
Any reason you think?
Very crowded. It was very, very crowded, even though I was in Coral Sea. And, you know, people were trying to get faster. I think I was running an 8-minute mile, even though I had wanted to run a 7:30 miles, but there was no option to even speed up. It was that crowded. And so people would get caught in each other's feet, or they would, you know, make a turn and just fall. So that was kind of sad.
Hopefully no one got hurt too bad, but, what about, like, did you notice bathrooms or like nutrition stations or things like that?
Oh yeah. So the official sponsor or, you know, donator of the drinks was a brand called Pocari Sweat. Yeah, I've told you about that, and it's kind of like, it sounds kind of gross. It's like a sports drink, but it's not as sweet as Gatorade, but then it kind of is. I feel like it's almost like that stuff that you drink when you're pregnant and they're doing your blood sugar test, but not as sweet. Like, it's subtle, but it's definitely sweet. And unfortunately, no one can read the label. I have no idea how many carbs or what's in that stuff. I like the taste, but after, I think, 15 miles or so, I was, you know, I didn't love it anymore. But I mean, then again, what do you love after 15 miles? So they had that. And then when you did have the nutrition tables, there were all kinds of things lined up. There were, I mean, food and a lot of different things. I didn't try any of it because, you know, I was already mixing.
Worried about the runs.
Yes. But yeah, so nutrition stands were great. I ran into a couple of friends and chatted a little bit. And then also some local runners. I was telling one Japanese lady about my lack of gels, and she gave me something. And I want to say it was Spam, but I'm not sure. And for those of you guys that, you know, don't know me, I'm a vegetarian. So it was interesting. And I'd already, you know, halfway swallowed it.
So you enjoy your Spam?
It was my meat day after 30 years. And I was like, oh, thank you. People were really nice, right? So I didn't want to be rude and not eat it, but then it was kind of weird. So what else?
Awkward interaction.
So, a little awkward, yeah.
So that was the first part.
Awkward interactions, yeah.
And organized nutrition stands.
Organized nutrition stands and, Ryan, a ton of spectators. I mean, I would put that up there with, like, New York, and they're loud. I mean, I think I've told you before about, like, sometimes when I run a marathon, I want to take in the sights, but sometimes you can't because it feels almost like there's 5-10 people deep of spectators. You can't even see beyond the spectators if you're shorter. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Tokyo was one of those. I was trying to take it all in, but I feel like I took in the spectating a lot, which was great. Another great thing that happened during this race was, you know, there's a lot of out and backs, which normally I don't like, but in this case, there was the elite runners, and that was kind of cool because there was one instance where I could see, you know, Kipchoge had already dropped back, and it was that other elite pack with the other three Kenyans in there, and that was really cool.
I don't like that because I'm always thinking, they're probably almost done with the race, and I feel like I'm just starting.
I didn't think that until when I saw it, everything was in kilometers. I didn't feel that way until I saw somebody coming back from kilometer 38. And so, you know, there's only 4 kilometers left, and I was barely getting to 35. So you start doing the math in your head of like, okay, I'm going to have to go 2 more miles out and then turn around. And then you're just kind of waiting for that. So, yeah.
Okay. So how are you feeling?
I was feeling good the whole time. I was pretty consistent with the pace. I think, I mean, I always slow down a little bit, but it was very consistent. I felt consistent. I did want to go to the bathroom. I didn't see porta potties, but I'm told there were porta potties. Obviously, I'm not the most observant, but I did see quite a few signs that said, you know, there was an arrow pointing to the left or to the right or whatever, and it said bathroom 500 meters. And
so you have to run out there.
Yeah. And 500 meters is, you know, it's like, so 400 meters is a lap on the track.
Yeah.
So that's it's like a little bit, mile. Yeah. So it's more than a quarter mile to the bathroom. Yeah. And then you go and then you come back. And so I didn't want to do that. So I didn't have to go bad enough, but I did see a lot of people with pants that were moist between their legs. And I did see a couple of actively peeing people running.
Not just sweating.
I mean, maybe sweating, but you know, why are you sweating from there?
You probably had to go bathroom. So you were thinking everyone was going to the bathroom at the time when you were looking at it.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
I'm just kidding. So anything else for the second half?
That was, you know, there were some iconic landmarks. I can't remember the names of them, but that was cool to see. I mean, it's a great course. It's a flat course. It's a fast course. The weather is perfect. It's kind of like the Chicago race or the Berlin race, just really flat courses that are fast.
What was the winning time?
So the winning time was a new course record by Benson Kipruto at 2:02 and some seconds.
That's pretty close to the world record.
Yeah, it's like a minute and a half away. But it's also like a minute and a half PR for Benson Kipruto. He had run his best time just last year in Chicago, so he did really well.
That's awesome. So before we get into more of that, how about the finish? Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, the finish was great. There were a couple of turns and you're close to the Tokyo station where you finish. There was a little bit of cobblestone and unfortunately I saw like two more people tripping and falling. And you know, it feels bad when you hear that slam to the ground hard. I wanted to help the guy, but there was already, you know, spectators around helping him up. And it was like slow motion watching them trip. But besides that, cobblestones, which, you know, they're pretty well down on the ground, so it's not really where you trip. And then you run and there it is, you see it, you can give it a last sprint and then you finish. The finish was awesome. I ran into a friend from LA who was a German friend in LA, which was really cool to, you know a person at the finish. And then you kind of get herded along and you collect a medal and then you also get a towel that's kind of like a kimono, like a, you know, pullover, which is my favorite item ever for something at the finish line, besides obviously the medal. And yeah, then you're supposed to return your chip, apparently.
Return your chip, like your number chip?
So you have a bib and at the back of the bib is a little plastic thingy.
Yeah.
That you have to detach. And apparently there was a lot of people collecting them
and you forgot to observe that.
Yes, I'm not observant. And then I tossed my chip and my whole bib in the trash, so there was no way of retrieving it.
So you get in trouble? Okay.
No, I don't think so. I just learned that I have to, you know, read the race handbook a little bit better and pay attention to that stuff and not try to wing everything in life. But yeah, I don't think anything will happen. You know, with the Berlin Marathon, they had the same thing. They have a chip that you actually, you know, put it onto your shoe, but that's obvious. And they also say at the end, you know, if you don't return your chip, you're going to be charged €5 or so. But with this one, it wasn't very, I don't know, maybe I'm just not observant.
Yeah, that is true. But
yeah.
Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Well, Tokyo Marathon, highly recommend it. I loved it.
On your scale, Letty scale of 1 to 10?
It was definitely a 10, as are all the races. It was absolutely amazing. Will I go back next year? I'll probably not get a bib. And I also think it's a really far way to travel there. It's expensive to do this. So I'd be okay with it being a one and done unless, you know, it was overlapping a family trip from us. And yeah, so we will have some tips that we're going to record with Tommy Runs, who was also in Tokyo. And but, you know, we're going to bring that out closer, I guess, to next Tokyo 2025, because what are you going to do with the tips now, right?
Might forget them.
Yes, exactly. So now I guess this is the end of our race recap. I hope you guys liked it. And we'll have another one soon, right, Ryan?
Rome.
Yes. So we're leaving for Rome. It'll be The marathon is in 10 days, or actually like 7-8 days, something like that.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. It's not this weekend, it's next weekend. So another trip. Not that we're not sick of flying yet, but...
And this one we're going to go run with your brother who's never run a marathon before. We're going to be sightseeing a bit.
It's definitely going to be interesting.
We'll see. Yeah. There'll be another race recap.
There'll be another race recap and another expo recap and all that stuff. But rest assured, we'll have an episode for you next week as well. Obviously, we've recorded one, and this one is going to try to hype you up for the Boston Marathon. The Boston Marathon will be exactly in 4 weeks from next week's episode. So we're going to try to hype you up. And we're also going to have a conversation with a running coach, Ron Tapp, who won second in Boston and has podiumed a bunch at that race. He still trains elite runners and regular runners as well. So he's going to have a whole bunch of information on how you can navigate through Boston and do the best you can. So that's it. Have a great week of running. Thanks for tuning in. For more information and marathon running news, please head to www.marathonrunningpodcast.com, and we'll be back next week.
Are you looking for the perfect apparel that mirrors your love for running? Look no further than Run Swag, the go-to store by runners for runners. From witty tees to hoodies that commemorate your marathon majors to crops that get you motivated, Run Swag's got you covered. Discover the perfect blend of comfort and style. Visit www.runswag.com. Run Swag, there's something for every runner.